Triple M's Rush Hour with Bernie, Bluey and Jars. Weekdays from 6.
Click Keno from only $1 a game. Gamble responsibly. 1-800-858-858.
Triple M. Get ready for the new look Rush Hour.
You guys are not going to regret this. We're going to get so much more activities done.
This is the funnest night ever.
It's game time!
Andrew Jarman.
Beautiful to Jarman. Bang! Another nail.
Bernie Vince. Triple M's Rush Hour with Bernie and Jars.
Triple M's Rush Hour with Bernie and Jars for Our Town and Country Office National. Everything for your home or business office, Our Town and Country Office National has you covered.
G'day everybody, welcome to your Thursday edition of the Rush Hour. What a gorgeous day today, and we love speaking to you, the family, here, around the nation and around the globe. Our second to last show before we drift off for a long, long break. The Australian Open is set to move into Feb. Not January, so keep an eye on that one. Tributes flow for Diego Maradona, who passed away at the age of 60 from a heart attack. The 86 winning World Cup captain there. The AFL rookie list is an absolute farce. And yes. Bernie and I will dissect that. And now let's say hello to the bright star of Triple M, the Rush Hour Triple M, Bernie Vince. G'day, buddy. Welcome. G'day,
just
mate.
Building up nicely, isn't it, to that final show coming up. But yes, g'day, Hato, g'day, Jars.
Mate.
Beautiful day out there. And yes, you're right, Jars, the rookie system, I just don't know how the hell that thing works anymore. Used to be for sort of risky picks for senior players that have been, you know, playing in country or category B rookies, they used to call them. But I don't even know if you have to be upgraded to play now. We'll get into that a little bit later.
Thank you, Ben.
A bit of AFL news.
Yes,
James Frawley,
yeah,
set to be signed. No, set to be signed as a Saint, Jars, I'm hearing.
Oh, no.
Yes,
no,
at his third club.
No,
so
he's retired.
He has retired. But when you retire, Jars, you can be picked up as a, well, it's classed as a delisted free agent. So he can sign for nothing. Don't have to trade for
so
him.
So you
obviously
retired from AFL football. You've retired.
Yes,
my I was my asked to leave AFL football.
Yes.
I was asked to leave and I left.
Yes.
But I've never, ever, and I retired from the Sandful back in the end of 97, winning the flag with the Nord Footy Club.
Yes.
Never went back and played in the Sandful. Never have I retired from grassroots football. Have you ever retired anywhere else?
No.
So once your buddy retire. You don't keep coming back, Johnny Farnham.
Well, the Saints are in need. Nathan Brown retired, their fullback last year.
Draft someone. There's plenty of good young talent out
there. He's a good backup, Jars. You wouldn't have to pay him much. It's good for him. He extends his career. And
next, he'll be on the rookie list.
You know what?
Don't.
He probably will be,
Jars. Don't say it.
He might be on the rookie list, Jars. Speaking of rookie list, Mitch Hinge. He has been delisted from Brisbane earlier on the year, but he's set to be signed at Adelaide, I hear, Jars.
Is that a good pickup, Bern? Is he a good talent?
I think it is. He played a few games for Brisbane.
Yeah,
tough team to break into. Obviously, a top four side and top of the ladder most of the year. So, good size. I played with his brother, John Hinge.
Yeah, good man, Johnny Hinge.
In the late 2000s.
Good family.
Yeah, really good family from southeast South Australia. So, good luck to him. Hopefully, he finds his niche in Adelaide. So, that's good luck to him.
Bern, one new case today. Obviously, let's not panic. We've got the young lass down there at the Woodville High. So the government's encouraging us, the SA government, are saying, wear a mask.
Yeah,
please wear a mask if you're outside, make sure.
Yes.
Do you get that or not?
We had this conversation yesterday, and I get it now. I get it.
Yep.
If there's any risk, put one on.
Yep.
If it means we can all be a bit freer if we just put a mask on,
okay,
more than happy to do it, Jars.
Okay. Anyone at the Woodville High and anyone in the western areas of South Australia, the government is saying, please get a test done.
Yeah.
All right.
Go and
just
do
get
it.
A test.
It helps everyone.
10,000 tests were done yesterday. So South Australia is still backing it in.
Yep.
All right.
Nah.
So just get it done. Just to make sure. Peace
South
of mind.
Australia. They're targeting the areas that need to be targeted
rather than
over there in Victoria. They just tested every man his dog and we didn't know where the hell everyone was at. So I like that about South Australia.
Bern, who's some of the guests coming on the show very shortly?
Well, we've got a couple of big names today, Jars. We've got Mike Hussey. We're going
to
speak to him with the one-day series starting up. So
we've
got him tomorrow and the test series coming up, Jars. And he did the review of the Saka earlier in the year. Now, We haven't seen a lot of change.
We're currently bottom on the Shield table.
We haven't won. And haven't made too many totals. Haven't bowled a lot of teams yet. So we're going to have to ask him about that. But and we've got your mate, Carly Veer. Our mate, Carly Veer. So a couple of big signings, Jars, that you couldn't quite get out the other day.
But hang on.
But he's going to tell us.
They're big announcements.
Stop him, Hato. Turn him off.
I'm not going to turn you off. I said yesterday, and you two knocked me to the inch of my life.
Well, you forgot.
And they are. Two great announcements, signings down at Adelaide United.
Okay, look, we'll get Carly Veer on, and he'll announce them as well. Speaking of announcements, apologies to the South Aussie Pop fans this morning listening to our breakfast show.
Madonna's died. Maradona, not Madonna.
To all the Madonna fans out there, rest assured she's still alive, all right? I promise you.
I dropped the R out of Madonna there.
Yeah.
Good on Rupert. Come on.
He's tired, our boy.
He's tired. He's nearly there. Make sure you run right to the line, though.
Some people out there would have thought that Madonna had passed away, but she's healthy. She's up and about.
You got a thing for her, Charles? Or?
Not at all, no.
Yes.
Well, let's talk to Australian cricket great. He's cricket royalty for us. We call him Mr. Cricket, and he's a Fox cricket expert commentator, Michael Hussey. G'day, Mike. Thanks for your time on the Rush Hour.
No worries, guys. Good to be on. Bernie, are you the butt of all the jokes around that place, or what?
Oh, nice. I do. They're very harsh on me. Like I don't do anything. Thanks for bringing that up. It was about time someone pointed that out. Thanks, Hus.
It's a bit rough.
It is very rough.
Yeah, but you shouldn't be whacking Regernos after a game.
Well, yeah, I didn't try.
Hus, we got lots to get through. We know Australia playing tomorrow. What now? You did the review for the Saka and did a marvellous job, even though we're sitting bottom in the Shield table. Why didn't you put in the Saka review that one Greg Blewett should have been sacked as batting coach?
Oh, that was the number one recommendation, wasn't it? That was all the feedback I got from everyone in South Australia. But obviously the board weren't listening. I don't know what's going on there. But from all reports, he's doing a bloody good job, actually. Working, especially after Jamie Siddons, left the association. I heard he really stepped up, and along with Luke Butterworth, have done a pretty good job getting the guys ready. Obviously, results haven't quite gone to plan just yet, but it'll take time. It will take time for things to slowly turn around. But I think they'll get on the right path, no question.
Yeah, was the experience of doing an extensive review on a team like that at the Saka, and have they implemented your changes or your recommendations immediately?
I really enjoyed it, actually. It was a big job, I must admit. I spent a lot of time, interviewing, I think, over 100 people at the time, a lot of different stakeholders in South Australia, outside South Australia, and all over the world, really. So I probably learnt as much as anyone out of it, to be honest. But, fantastic opportunity. And as I said, I think, it'll just take a little bit of time for things to get on the right track. I really believe that grade cricket is going to be a key pillar of the success of South Australian cricket moving forward, and really building the relationships there and getting grade cricket as strong as it possibly can, and really respecting grade cricket and the role that it plays in the whole sort of pathway. So hopefully, over time that'll slowly get implemented, and we can build something that's going to be sustainably successful in South Australia. Because over their history, we've sort of seen a Shield win here or there, but there hasn't been sort of like a dynasty that we've sort of seen in other states as well. Whereas if you can get all the structures and the building blocks in place, then hopefully you can get sustainable success in the future.
Hus, we've got the one day and the T20 series coming up against India. It's hard to get a gauge on these two teams because Australia's last series in September, 2-1 series win against England, and I think India haven't played together since February when they were over in New Zealand and lost 3-0. So where are these two teams at, do you think?
Yeah, well, it's going to be interesting to see. A lot of the guys are coming off T20 cricket, so they would have played a fair bit of white ball cricket. The Indians, straight out of the IPL. A lot of the Aussies played in the IPL as well. So their short form game should be in pretty good nick, to be honest. And I'm expecting a pretty high quality series. I think it'll be good. I think India will be pretty strong. they're missing Rohit Sharma, I think, for the series. Yeah. So that's a huge loss. He's got a good record in Australia in white ball cricket. And you know, one day cricket in general, he's an unbelievable player. So they're going to have to fill that slot. But other than that, they look like a pretty strong team. The Aussies look great as well.
Yep.
So it should be an outstanding series. I think the Aussies hopefully just start favourites.
Yeah, it's going to be a series like no other. The Indian team obviously been in quarantine. In fact, the majority of the limited overs squad for Australia has been in quarantine too. They are allowed to train, but it's going to be different, isn't it?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, and this could be a key factor on who goes on and wins the series. I think both teams are evenly matched from a skill perspective, but who can handle the being in the bubble and being in isolation and the mental side of the game, that could be the difference. It's certainly not going to be easy. A lot of the Indians, well, all of the Indians are coming out of a bubble from the IPL. The Aussies have been in a bubble in England, and then some have been in the IPL bubble and back into another. At least the Aussies are probably at home, so they probably know the, you know, obviously feel more comfortable in the home conditions a little bit more. So maybe that might give Australia a slight edge. But, it's certainly going to be a challenge for the players throughout the whole summer, I reckon.
Chatting with Mr. Cricket Mike Hussey. Mate, has there been too much hype over young Will Pukoski to be picked in the first test against India?
Oh, I don't think so. Oh. I think he looks like an outstanding talent and scoring a couple of double hundreds. Yep. And he's got a double hundred again last year as well. So he's doing exactly what the selectors ask of him, just bashing down the door with performances. Mm. I think Joe Burns desperately needs some runs in those Australia A games against India before the first test.
Okay.
If he doesn't get runs in those, then I think there'll be a serious conversation with the selectors. But if he can manage to get 100 in one of those games, I think he might be safe.
All right, beautiful.
Who do you pick if you're a selector right now? Who do you go with?
Oh, good question.
Well, can I wait till Burns scores 100 in the... if Burns can score some runs in the A game, I'm sticking with Burns. I think he's got a good rapport with David Warner, and plus the test team, they had a great summer last year. Although Burns didn't set the world on fire, I think he got a couple of half centuries.
Yep.
It's a winning team, a settled team, so show the faith in those guys. But having said that, if he doesn't score runs in those two games, then I'd be tempted to make the change.
Huss, before we let you go, and really appreciate your time, the Stansbury Cricket Club, Bernie Vince's country cricket club, are in turmoil under the captain coach of a bloke called Pitty. Any advice for the top order?
Need a review.
It won't take long, though.
Please, Pitty, be listening to the captain and coach who we think should be dropped.
Oh, I don't know. Swing hard, I guess. Swing hard at the top of the order.
Thanks for your time, mate, and look forward to your call over the summer.
Okay, no worries, guys. Have a good evening.
Great, man. Great chat with Mike Hussey, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You're a little bit giddy.
I was a little bit starstruck, Jars, I must admit. I think I nailed the interview, but he was one of my heroes growing up.
Oh, nice. So, what a great fella.
What a great man. I could chat to him all day. Mm.
But he's obviously sticking up for Greg Blewett.
Yeah, he whacked him and then sort of backed out of it, didn't he, like a squid.
Now, I've got a surprise for you. Well, you've had a great year this year.
It's
your first year on the Rush Hour. No. But
it's not Christmas yet.
We just want to acknowledge the work you've done on Burns Beef.
It's
been one of the highlights of the show this year.
Yes.
And it is, look, we know we're global. And everyone talks about it. And this is your baby.
Mm.
And we just thought, Hato and I got together with Jared, our producer, and we just thought we'd give you a little present to say thank you.
Thank you, Jars.
We appreciate your time and effort. Hato?
I really appreciate it, Jars. Only caused, how many crashes? 25 crashes.
Any chance we can play it?
Okay, go, Jars.
And the last bird out of San Diego.
Is that it?
Let's go.
Is that it?
Yeah!
Oh, God. On Triple M's Rush Hour with Bernie and Jars, it's time for Bernie's Beef.
How many times have you got my name wrong, do you think?
Oh, God.
And then you go and do this.
Nathan G said, keep it to footballers only, Blue.
I don't mind Burn. That.
Yeah, I'm Burn, actually.
My name is Bernie. Get it right. I'll work with you.
Right, who's in your gun?
Bluey on the boundary.
Clean belly, you bill of heels.
Today, Junior.
So one thing, when they throw to you for the first time, what should you be prepared for?
To speak.
I'm driving along, I see this sign, drive through Coronas, and I thought, perfect. Pull in, and I look out the window, six Coronas, thanks.
Six
Coronas. You know what he did to me?
What did he do,
Bert? He whacked a swab in my mouth!
Who are you going to target?
Bruce Abernathy.
No.
Okay. As we all know, Port Adelaide was sitting at the top of the ladder. He went to this joke the 15th time.
That is your sports gist. The good news is Port Adelaide's still on top.
Abba.
Here we go.
I spoke to ScoMo and he even had this to say about it.
Stop it.
Port supporters, they're saying this.
Stop it.
And you know what my feedback is for Mr. Abernathy?
What's this?
Get stop it! This has become a radio segment powerhouse. Have a listen to this.
Time for Billy's beef now.
My beef of the week is solely about social media and sporting
organisations.
Shut him down. Yep. No. He's described that as strong. I'll tell you what that was.
So I get this put under my windscreen wiper of my car. Dear neighbour, please do not park here on Fridays, as this is where I put my bins out for collection.
Oh, no.
Jazz.
Yes, Burn.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Bin.
Bin who?
Bin telling me where to park, you c***.
Roadworks.
Oh.
And they slowed me down 14 kilometres before the roadworks to 80k's.
Yes.
And I thought, well, I'll do 80 for a while and we'll speed back up. I went to 60, 40 and 20.
Yes.
And there was no one even there.
This is not road rage, Burn.
Never driving again.
The Victorian Premier, Daniel Andrews.
Oh, nice.
He has the audacity to come out and say this.
I don't want to be offensive to South Australians, but why would you want to go there?
You pissant! You would have been picked on at school, you nerd!
And he's got a tattoo of Lady Gaga on his chest.
Oh, no! Free fishing is under threat, Jars.
No!
You know what they're trying to do?
What, Bert?
They're trying to charge us a $50 annual fee per person.
Yes.
Just to drop a bloody line in. And you know what I'm going to do, Jars?
Oh, no, Bert.
I'm going to speak on behalf of the recreational fishers, and this is my message.
Yes, Bert.
Go and jump in the lake!
Very happy day for the Adelaide Football Club, Sam, and a very embarrassing day for the AFL.
I'll tell you what's embarrassing, Caro. Coming up with that arrow thing you do. Jars, does arrow start with C?
No.
Well, why is it called Caro's arrow?
Attention, attention.
Collingwood coaches are going outside the hub. They're playing tennis with Alicia Molik. They put the AFL's $300 million broadcast deal at risk. But this is the same bloke that shipped me off to Melbourne to play in 2013. I'll tell you what, he got what he deserved. Get sent off!
Brilliant, mate. Brilliant. What are you?
Apologies, apologies to Sando and his family.
No,
and,
don't apologise.
Yeah, okay, no apologies. I mean,
well
everything
done.
I said.
Geez,
that brought back some memories, Jars.
Yeah.
Well, if there's a pay increase, I'll bring it back.
Oh, now he wants to get paid more.
Well, I'll bring in all those sponsorship dollars.
It's a sponsored segment.
Well played.
One new case today regarding the virus. So there's no panic from the government. The SA government are encouraging people to wear a mask, Byrne.
Yes.
They'd like you to wear a mask when you're outside.
I understand that. But until they make it mandatory or they start fining, people will choose not to because it is. It's uncomfortable, Jazz. But if it's better for our health, let's just do it.
Oh, I can smell a beef.
Premier Steve Marshall had a press conference about 1:30 today. So anyone at the Woodville High School, we know that young lass has been put in quarantine, or the Western area, go and get a test done. That's their message.
Yep.
Okay, like Byrne, you happy with that?
Yeah, very happy, Jars. Well done.
The Furious
Five. It's time for the most groundbreaking quiz to hit the airwaves.
I do not believe it. I do not believe it.
Two callers ballot out by answering five questions. The one with the most correct wins. It's time for the Furious Five.
The Furious Five.
G'day, lads. Welcome to the groundbreaking quiz. We say hello to Shane from Moon to Bay. G'day, Shane.
Hey, Jazz. How are you, mate?
Shane,
how are you, mate? For a good spot over there on the York Peninsula.
Oh, here we go.
Why, oh, we've just moved back down from Alice Springs.
Oh, geez. Right near the ocean. Total opposite of Alice Springs.
Yeah, I know, mate.
Good.
Yeah, love it.
You play golf there at the Port Hughes?
No, but I do mind a bit of freshening and crabbing.
Oh, nice, mate. Like it. Do you listen to us on the Triple M app, do you?
Yeah, mate, I certainly do.
It's easy, isn't it? See, people think it's hard to do.
Just we're doing a quiz.
I'm cutting into Jars' time, okay?
Honestly,
sorry,
what is this, a lot?
We could talk all day. We go to the Moon to Hotel for a beer.
We're going to introduce Corey from Balaclava. G'day, Corey. Sorry, mate.
Hey, young fellas.
Welcome, Corey. Corey, we might as well have a chat while we're at it. Who's your favourite AFL player, past and present?
Not Tommy Rockliffe, because last time I phoned up, you bloke stitched me up with him.
Bella Club is a good part of South Australia too. Good farming area.
As well, have you burned?
You're a farmer? Or?
Yeah. Oh, here we go.
Yeah, I'm a farmer.
In the middle of harvest at the moment.
Here we go.
Yeah, flat stick, mate. Flat stick.
Crops are looking good too over there, aren't they?
Oh, crikey.
Depends where you are, mate.
Any chance of getting the quiz done?
Sorry. Right, I'm done. Here you go, Chaz.
Shane and
mate.
Corey, 5 questions. Bang out your name first if you know the answer. There's points involved if you get it right. Minus points if you get it wrong. There's 2 lifelines. Have some fun with it. We've got a great prize, haven't we, Ado?
Yeah, Google Home. So you plug it in at home and say, play the Rush Hour with Triple M or set
Jars's
a timer. Play
Jars' footy clips.
Play Jars' footy clips. It'll come back with a 404 error.
Darren's 97 grand final highlights pop up.
I'm trying to highlights.
Burn question number 1. Here we go.
Question 1, boys. Here we go. Which year did Argentinian soccer star Diego Maradona captain the national team to World Cup glory?
Jeez. Corey.
Yes, Corey.
Yep. Lifeline.
Oh, no. Yes, sir.
Oh,
who?
Cool.
Who you want?
Jars.
All right,
yes.
Buddy.
Oh, I didn't
now,
know that.
Burn.
Yeah, I didn't know.
Can
that.
I apologise? What was the question again? Because I didn't hear it.
No! No, you have to give an answer. Just give an answer.
86 World Cup.
You're bloody kidding me.
Yeah!
You did listen.
Yeah.
You cheated.
No,
he didn't. I'm keeping an eye on him.
I didn't cheat. And don't ever call me. That's a disgusting word to use.
What?
Cheat.
I didn't call you a cheat. I said. You cheated.
No, did you cheat?
No, I didn't say you're a cheater. I asked the question.
I did my research.
Hey, there's no such thing as a dumb question, Jazz. I've heard you push that limit.
Well, apart from that.
Okay, question 2, are we up to?
Yes.
Which boxing legend returns to the ring this weekend?
Shane.
Yes, Shane.
Mike Tyson.
Yes, well done.
One apiece. Good game.
One apiece, right. Question 3. Where does the first international... Oh, the one-day international between Australia and India kick off tomorrow.
Corey?
Shane. No, that was Shane. No, nah, Shane.
Shane Just, I think.
Yep, Shane.
Adelaide?
No.
No. Corey, you can answer the question.
Is it Sydney?
Yes.
Yeah, good boy.
Well done.
Bad luck, Shane-o.
That's all right, mate.
All right, number 3, please, Burnt.
Hey, which former Demon and Hawk star joined St Kilda today?
Oh, crocky.
Fullback.
Lifeline. Shane.
Shane, and you got a lifeline?
Lifeline. Bernie.
Right.
James Frawley. Yeah. Former teammate of mine. Now, see, I didn't know the Argentinian question, but I did know that one.
Two apiece.
Well done, Shane.
Two apiece, Burn.
So this is the tiebreaker.
This is the tiebreaker, hey.
Yep, this is for the chocolate.
Shane from Moonta Bay and Corey from Ballarat.
Wait up.
Well,
didn't you get one wrong? So that means he loses a point. He said Adelaide's the test.
Oh, that's true.
He did.
Oh, no, that's absolutely true.
How do you stuff this up every time we play? Honestly,
I'm a dyslexian with numbers.
You're a what?
Dyslexian.
Dyslexian.
Oh, no.
I think there's an S in there. It's a dyslexian.
So it's 2 to 1.5.
No, one.
Oh, my God. Look, I'm just gonna read this question.
I don't know. Well, I tell you what. Can we get the last question in before Corey throws someone else under the bus and wrecks their day? That'd be fantastic.
Right. So it's bloody 2.
See, I told you, Jars, farmers are smart. So you picked up on that, Corey.
All right, so it's 2-1, Corey's way.
Okay, so this could tie it.
Right.
Okay, boys. What's more unlikely to happen at the Triple M Christmas party? Me to have 2 beers for the night, or Jars to actually remember the venue, date, time,
Corey.
And make it?
Corey.
Shane, wasn't it?
That was Corey.
Corey.
The second one, the one about Jars.
Trick question. It's actually both, but yes, no, we'll give you that.
Well done, chaps. Well played, lads. Corey.
Well, oh, Corey won. Did we get that right?
Corey, the farmer from Balaclava.
Well done.
What's he, Ben? Thanks, Shane, from Moonta Bay. Great stuff, mate. Great sport.
I'll be over there in a week
or so.
Have
a great Christmas, Shane-o.
Look at Charles. He's given up already.
No, I'm just checking.
Got his calculator out trying to add up those questions.
2 plus 1 equals...
You can use your fingers, Jars. There's 5 fingers, so it's 5.
No, don't be cheeky, young man.
More of that, please, Corey. You got any more?
Yeah, you'll be last time you'll ever be on this show, buddy.
I'll get you back. Don't worry.
Now, Burn, I want to get your expert opinion on this one. The AFL rookie list has been exposed. It's farcical. Yep. And that's on the back of Eddie Betts going onto the Carlton rookie list. Grant Birchall. now yes. onto the rookie list, who three-time, four-time premiership player.
Four-time.
Jared yep. Harbrow from the Gold yeah. Coast Suns, rookie list.
Bizarre.
These guys are
David
over
McKay,
30.
Just eh? Today. David McKay today.
There you go.
Another one
on
over
the
30.
Rookie list. Mate, it has been exposed by these clubs. They found the loophole. Yep. And the AFL, now they're veterans in the competition.
Yeah, not like, what it's designed for, Jazz.
Well, and what it's designed for, and this was established in 1997, the rookie list, aimed at providing recruiting opportunities, Byrne, for young players, not older players,
no,
Byrne.
No.
Right? To get these young rookie players on the list from the ages of 18 to 23 years old to qualify. Last time I checked, Eddie Betts was 44 years old.
Yeah. Well, when did you check? 10 years
Byrne,
time?
This is farcical and it has to stop.
Yeah.
Clubs can't do this. They can't do it, Byrne.
Now, I'm a bit lost to where the rookie system sits because 44 on a list, but then there's some rookies and then there's Category B rookies, Jars. I think they just either need to scrap the thing altogether.
Yeah.
Because what it's there designed for is... It's more so around when it was brought in to take a bit of a risk with a pick. It's so you don't have to draft them, but it's like you pick someone that may have been playing country footy or something all that year and has played really good footy towards the back end of the year or something, come down to an SANFL club, and you take a bit of a risk with a rookie. But now it's just being rorted, like you're saying, and 30-year-olds are going on there, 32-year-olds, 34-year-olds. How old's Eddie Betts? Betts, 35 or
35
something?
Next year.
35. So, I mean, that's not what it's there for. The Category B rookies are... two spots on a list that have from players that have come from a different sport who haven't played football at a senior level in either SANFL or the VFL waffle type situation. So mainly basketballers we're seeing doing that. But there's also been some overseas Category B rookies from Ireland and Mason Cox, I think, was one as well to start with. But it needs to be cleared up, Jars, because the idea of it isn't what it's being used for now. Mm. And do you have to... be upgraded to the senior list to play football still, Jars? Because it used to be four rookies on a list and you couldn't play unless there was a long-term injury. And someone went on to the long-term injury list, say they'd done their knee, and then a spot opens up. Yeah. And then it's a fight for those four players. Who gets that spot? Which I think is encouraging for a rookie at a club to be a young rookie, mind you, to get an opportunity at senior level. And I mean, that's just, we're losing that in the game now because, I'm just lost to where it's at. They need an update or a clean out of no rookies whatsoever because they're getting paid the same.
It's got to stop. And I think the AFL have to look at it. And it's not the club's fault. It's not their fault.
They're just
I don't
using
blame
the system.
No, exactly.
The best way they can.
And I reckon, I bet you the AFL, as we speak, will be looking at it and saying, no more. If you're not between 18 and 23 years old, you can't be put on the rookie list. And you're right. It gives those guys a first opportunity to have a look at some AFL football.
Yes, exactly
if they're from
right.
the state league. You're spot on. But you can't do that. It is farcical. Eddie Betts, enough said, he's come out and he's been selfless.
Yeah, well I don't...
He's taken a spot off a young rookie.
Yeah,
is
that's
selfless?
The thing. Well, he's staying on the list, essentially, and he can still play. So, I mean, it hasn't really changed anything. He's still getting paid the same, Jars. They're all still getting paid the same. It's just they're termed as rookies now, which I don't think really means anything. We have to find out whether you still have to be upgraded to play because if they've got a full list of players, Eddie Betts can't play unless he's upgraded. But I'm not sure if that's still the rule. It used to be when I was
I don't think it is, Byrne. I don't think it is.
Because otherwise these guys wouldn't be putting their hand up to go on there because they wouldn't be able to play. And at 34 years old, Eddie Betts isn't going to be putting his hand up
and
not
David
to play.
And David McKay is now a rookie.
Yeah, exactly.
He's on a rookie list at the Adelaide Crows.
Nah, it needs an overhaul. Needs to be looked at. We might get Mike Hussey to have a look at that too. We've got him looking at everything else.
And not to make you feel bad, boys, but happy birthday, Eddie Betts, 34 years old today.
Hey, Jazzy. I wrote a book about kindness for kids. Coming your way.
He's joined us. Adelaide United coach Carly Veit joined us. And, mate, congratulations. A great signing today. Tell us who you've got on board and who's going to be wearing a shirt next year.
Yeah, so we've got a new number 9, Tommy Urich. So a great addition to the club. And, I'm sure our supporters will be... looking forward to seeing Tommy score goals at Hindmarsh.
Oh, geez, I'm excited about this.
There's the big announcement, Byrne, which I said yesterday, and you knuckleheads bloody abused me.
Jars tried to tell us he had a big announcement, and he gave up you as the source, and then he realised that he couldn't say it then because the coach had told him. And we were all confused and dumber for the situation. But you just got to be careful what you tell Jars on those beach walks. I know you like to hold hands with each other and swing in the sun, but I tell you, from the outside, this good squad is starting to look like it's got the perfect balance of both young local talent along with some some good high quality experience at the top end. Where's the ceiling, or is there no ceiling this year?
Yeah, look, you know, when you know, we lost a lot of players from last season, 8-9 players, and I sat down with Bruce, and you know, we came up with a plan where we needed to strengthen the squad in particular areas, but also having the opportunity to still give game time to those young players. And the main spot that we wanted to cover was the number nine, and Tommy was our number one target, and Bruce went after him, and Bruce done a tremendous job and got him.
You must be happy with the work Bruce and the team are doing behind the scenes, because you are able to pull some big-name players to the club, and that's been a battle probably over the last few years, hasn't it?
It certainly has. You know, it's been very difficult to get players back the quality of Tommy Urich. You know, he's still, you know, he's only 29 years of age. He's still part of the Socceroos set-up, and, you know, that's just a great coup for the club.
Carly, what about the other big announcement, the Spaniard? We've locked him away, have we? And who is he?
Yeah, Javi Lopez. You know, he's the ex-captain of Espanyol for 5 years. So, you know, he's got over, 280 games in the Liga at the top level in Spain. Has that big leadership qualities that's also that we needed to bring into the group.
Yeah.
You know, for the young players. So he'll be a huge influence to the players. You know, he doesn't speak English, but just his actions the way he'll go about in the change room and on the training pitch, a great thing for our young players to learn from.
If you need any to talk to anyone about working with someone that doesn't speak English, I've been doing it all year, so I've got plenty of experience in that
role.
Here
he goes.
The fixture's out.
That's for you.
What about the round of applause? I thought that was quite a good one. The fixture's out. Five Friday night home matches at Cooper's Stadium. Now, that's the marquee time slot, I like to call that one, Jars.
All righto.
Big crowd numbers, hopefully, along at games this year?
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah, you know, I think the club is still working with the management at Hindmarsh to work through the COVID plans and to see how many fans we can actually get. But we're hopeful that we can get 12,000 into Hindmarsh for all our home games. And, you know, I think the club have brought in some quality players. You know, we're going to play an attractive attacking brand of football. So, you know, I encourage all of our supporters to get behind the club and show that support.
Get on board, family. Get on board. Sign now, a new franchise in the competition, the MacArthur Bulls. Do you know much about them? Because we play them round 11, their young Carly.
Yeah, we'll go to Sydney in 2 weeks' time, and we'll play them in a pre-season game, so we'll get a good look at it then. They've brought in some old ex-Socceroo players back into Australia as well, into their squad, and they've recruited quite heavily some foreign players, so they're going to be, around the mark, and they've got a very good coach in Ante Milicic, so, that'll be a challenge.
Carly, we were saddened to hear the passing of Maradona recently. Just for the young people out there, what did he mean to the game? Because he's one of the biggest characters in our games ever.
Yeah, most definitely. He's, you know, one of the greatest players of all time that's ever played the game. You know, to play the game when he played the game and to do what he did, it won't be done again. The grounds that he had to play on, the tackles that he would have had to have put up with and what he did as a player, easily one of the best players ever to have played the game.
Carly, really appreciate your input this year. You've been one of our stalwarts on the rush hour. We wish you well. Have a great Christmas. Ben and I will have a bit of a break, but we'll be down to training and obviously participate in some of the drills if we're required. But before I let you go, thank you very much, and we'll catch up down the beach. How did you go with the three-day lockdown with wife Margie? How'd that go?
Yeah, it was okay. We it was a good time just to sit down and reflect.
Yeah.
We didn't do too much, so, we just had a couple of drinks on the deck.
Waters.
And then, just some waters. Yes.
Played Monopoly. Played some cards. Got to know each other.
It was good.
All the best, mate. Looking forward to it. December the 28th. We're on, Byrne.
Let's
we're
go.
On. All
Let's
right. Go. And I reckon a golf clap for his 100th appearance.
Yeah. It's amazing in 3 months. United. We haven't even had 100 shows. He's been on 100 times.
That's right. See you, mate. Australian fans, Byrne, will be treated to boxing royalty later this month when Mike Tyson makes his comeback. Yes, Mike Tyson against Roy Jones Jr. in the main event blockbuster exhibition bout. And the man that's all over it is Fox Sports, Ben Damon, joins us. G'day, Benny.
Yeah, g'day, fellas. How's it going? Really excited about this Sunday it'll be, Australian time. Mike Tyson getting back in the ring after 15 years or so, retired as a professional. He'll take on one of the greatest of all time in Roy Jones Jr. Tyson, 54 years of age, and Roy Jones is 51, but people don't seem to care. They're excited about seeing these two legends back in the ring.
Yeah, 8 2-minute rounds. Do you expect it to go the distance, or are we going to see the Tyson of old just come out and just throw haymakers early and be cooked after a few rounds?
Yeah, well, it won't go the distance if Mike Tyson has his way. I interviewed him last week, and he said as soon as that bell rings, he'll be across the ring trying to knock out Roy Jones Jr. So it's meant to be an exhibition. They're meant to take it lightly and sort of move around with each other, but they've both made it pretty clear that will not be happening. So Tyson, he's going to go out there and do what he's always done. Roy Jones, one of the slickest boxers we've ever seen.
Yeah.
He'll try and avoid him and try and do what he does. But, yeah, the great thing is we just have no idea what's going to take place. You never do with Mike Tyson.
Ben, you interviewed him, like you said, Mike Tyson, 54 years old. Why has he made this comeback? When did the light get switched back on inside his head?
Yeah, I don't think it ever went off. He's had some pretty erratic times, no doubt, Mike Tyson. He's taken a fair few blows to the head, and he's given himself a bit of damage as well, no doubt. But he's always been a fighter since he was born, and he just wants to continue to fight. And I think he got in some decent condition after getting clean for a while and getting back into training. And he thought, oh, you know what, maybe I could do something here. And I think it probably doesn't hurt that he's making in excess of $10 million for the fight.
So there it is.
That's certainly going to help.
Wow.
And also money going to charity, and he likes that concept as well. But, yeah, I think that's got a fair bit to do with it. But he probably has something to prove as well after dropping off as he did for quite a while. And now he's back in some good nick, so he wants to show it off.
You speak of that good nick. How long have they trained for and prepped for this fight? Because both being over 50, I presume it'd take a while to get back into the nick required.
Yeah, it would do. He's been in training for about 6 months for this fight, Mike Tyson. Roy Jones always trains. He's always fit.
Yep.
So Tyson, though, he wasn't, and he got back in good condition. This was meant to take place in September, but it was pushed back till now, so they both had that opportunity to go to the next level. They're both actually pretty disappointed that it's only going to be 2-minute rounds rather than the usual three. They'd rather go that extra distance and really test themselves out. But, yeah, they've trained really hard. We've seen all the pictures of Mike Tyson's physique and the comparisons between him when he was around 20 years of age and a heavyweight champion of the world and now. And, yeah, there are some similarities. He's done a fantastic job to get his body where it is.
Ben, before we let you go, there'll be no panel of judges or no headgear. Who are you tipping?
Yeah, well, they say there'll be no judges, but apparently they are going to have some. So there will be a decision in regards to who wins. There's betting available on the fight, so they sort of have to. But, yeah, I just think that Mike Tyson, with his power, and Roy Jones, who is such a great boxer, won world titles from middleweight to heavyweight, a legend of the sport, but is a little bit chinny. When he gets caught and when he got caught late in his career, he went down and went down hard. So I think Mike might get him at some point.
Ben, thanks for your time, mate. Looking forward to this Sunday on Main Event. Thanks for your time, buddy.
Yeah, no problems at all. Anytime.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time for Benny Fitz's super exciting, ultra mega important, interesting, bizarre final fact.
Let's go, buddy. Looking forward to this very, very interesting fact, all right?
Okay, ready,
Juz?
Here
we go, buddy.
Do you know, Juz?
Yes, Ben.
Do you know who was the first passengers ever in a hot air balloon?
I don't know, Ben.
First passengers?
Don't know.
Well, it was three things.
Yeah, right, eh?
A sheep, a duck, and a rooster. Were the first passengers in a hot air balloon, Jars. Yes, yes, I did read that right, Jars. In 1783, this was. The first hot air balloon was launched carrying a sheep, a duck, and a rooster. The flight lasted for 8 minutes before landing safely with all its passengers safe.
Yeah. Excellent. Yeah, I was a bit worried they just drifted off and that was
it. Yeah, well, who was driving? That's my question.
That's a good question.
Who would drive? The duck or the
1783.
Sheep?
You've gone 17... back that far for a stat.
You know what? I feel for the sheep. Because if all shit hit the fan, the duck and the rooster could at least fly out.
Ah, yeah.
Wouldn't want to fly up, though. It'd be KFC.
That's a good stat.
Jeez.
Yeah, for the rooster. Anyway.
Jeez, I tell you what, lucky it didn't land in Stansbury.
Oh, no.
What got shot then? Just a wild duck,
know.
I hope.
No, the balloon.
Okay, right, Jazz. Now, we spoke about shopping the other day, yesterday, in fact, and here's a good fact for you, Jazz, and this proves that we're right. Do you know, Jazz, the average male gets bored of a shopping trip after how long, do you think?
4 or 5 minutes?
26 minutes. That is a fact.
That's an average.
Meanwhile, women don't get tired of shopping until around 2 hours. No. Now, I'm thinking that's not quite right. I feel like that's more like 5 to 6.
Yeah.
Especially if they've got their husband with them.
Yeah.
And if their wife is with the husband, that 26 gets brought right down to 4 minutes. Oh, yeah. I've looked up. I did the maths.
Two great stats. Well done. Whatever we call them.
Next time you see a couple in a retail store with a bored-looking boyfriend, you know they've been out there for more than an hour, Jazz.
Yeah, well done. All right, family, have a great one. See you tomorrow.
Oh, final show tomorrow, Jazz. Oh, well. I'm emotional.